We call all the leaders here coaches, all of our pastors, because we believe that God's called us to be a team, and that it's only when we're all serving God together that we're going to really look like Jesus. And so if you don't yet have a position on this team, if you feel like I'm just coming to church, but I'm not really plugged in, come and talk to me or Wayne or Bob or somebody that you know here. We'd love to get you plugged in. Dee, will you pray for the offering?
Father God, we thank you for Maywood Baptist Church and that, and the music that stirs up our hearts and reminds us we're alive, Lord. Father, some of us here are still hurting, Lord. Some of us here are still grieving, Father God. We need your comfort in our lives. And will you please put it on our hearts to reach out to people that we see hurting, grieving, Lord. So that's the kind of church we want to be, Lord. We want to love each other, Lord, so that the world will know that we're your disciples. We just pray for the offering, Lord, that you bless it and you put it to good work. And you put the words in the mouths of our coaches here, Lord, that it be from you, Father God, and not from them. That it be their mouths and your words, Father God, and that you soften our hearts so we can receive it and apply it to our lives outside of this church, Lord, and that we can further your kingdom with their message. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Good morning. If you've only been coming to Maywood for just a few weeks even, you've probably already picked up on the idea that it's important to us around here that people continually be going deeper in their relationship with Christ. And as we take it seriously, trying to go deeper with Christ, we sometimes come up with questions like, well, so how do I know how I'm doing in my walk with Christ? Or what are some of the next steps I need to be thinking about? And are there some classes I might take at Maywood that would be especially helpful for where I am in my personal development? And in trying to help with those questions, we have put together what we call a growth phase assessment profile, an online tool that you can take individually and privately and anonymously and help answer some of those questions. The link and QR code for that are in your program. We also have some sheets up front you can pick up and just take that. It'll not only help you select some classes that'll be coming up, some new classes starting in April, but also gives feedback anonymously to where we need to be addressing needs. Now, we had a video for you, and we've gone to Plan B because of some equipment problems. The video's not working well, and so these people were in the video. We had them up here a couple of weeks ago or a week ago, and one of them had a phone, one of them had a tablet, one of them had a laptop computer, and they were doing this profile and just demonstrating how easy it is to do on any one of those devices and going through the questions and getting the results on that. So I'm just going to ask them, kind of as they did on the video, what are your responses, what are your thoughts in taking this? Why would you recommend it to anyone else?
Yeah, I was really impressed when I took the assessment. Like, you go onto the website or you scan the little QR code, and it pulls up a website, and it's got a questionnaire, and you fill it out, and it's got all these questions, and it kind of tracks as you go. And at the end, it gives you these graphs and charts of kind of here's where you're at on these different levels of development, kind of based on the fruits of the Spirit, on like, you know, how is your patience and things like that, and these other areas that you could kind of be working on. And then it also gives you a here's the stage that we feel like you're at that fits the classes here at Maywood. And then it'll give you a list of like classes that are coming in April that you could be a part of. And so I was really impressed. It seemed like, wow, this is really like fancy. I felt like I know that sounds bad, but it just seemed like, wow, this is like a really nice setup for us to have just to help you find a class on Sunday mornings. So I was really impressed with the tool. It didn't take very long to do it. It was like 40 questions or so. They're multiple choice. You just rank your number on these different questions. So I was really impressed with it. Taylor?
I thought the questions were really easy to answer, and it was pretty quick to do, and it helped you evaluate where you were in your walk with Christ and what steps you could take to go further with him, and then what classes you could take next time around so you could go further with Christ.
Mine, when I went through the questions at the end of it, it said that I should take a class with Patrick called Attributes of God. And that's one I just finished a few weeks ago. So it really nailed it right on the head, like where you should be by the answers you give. So I just recommend that you sit down for a few minutes and take it. It's real easy to do, and it just kind of gives you some confirmation on, like, hey, yeah, I really am walking this way, and my walk is doing pretty good. But it helped me out a lot.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you taking part in the video and also in doing this. And as he mentioned, the class was showing this quarter's classes, but they've been updated now to the ones being offered starting in April. If you actually want to see the video, it's on Facebook. It's also on YouTube. Just look for the growth phase assessment tool. And thank you, guys.
Thanks, Coach Wayne. Thanks, Taylor and Justin. Coach Bob is going to be up here. You kind of get to see. There you go. And if we do get the PowerPoint working, just go ahead and turn it on for me. But today we're in a series called Open Hands. And so the series is all about opening up to God in new ways. So every week we've challenged you in different ways. Can you let go of something so you can take hold of something new with God? And we've been following the story of Jesus. Right before he ever started his ministry, he spent a special time alone with God in the wilderness. And he spent 40 days alone with God. He fasted. He was empty of food. But the Bible tells us that he was full of the Holy Spirit. And so we've been looking at what was that experience like for Jesus, and what can that teach us about what it really means to be full of God. And so even while Jesus was out in the wilderness full of the Holy Spirit, Satan was right there too. Evil was right there trying to tempt him and trip him up. And so we've looked at that the last few weeks, of these different ways Satan tried to tempt Jesus, distract him, or pull him away from his mission. But Jesus, every time, was able to come back to the Bible and say, this is actually what the Bible says. And he was obedient to that. Well, today we're going to be looking at the very tail end of that story, which is in Luke chapter 4, verse 13. If you want to flip there, or you've got a Bible in front of you. Luke chapter 4, verse 13 says, when the devil had finished all this tempting, he left Jesus. I kind of get the image in my mind of a dog with its tail between its legs, you know, skimpering away. Satan realized that he had been beaten, that Jesus had faced all those temptations and was able to answer them and be faithful. But the verse doesn't end there. It says he left Jesus until an opportune time. See, that's how Satan works. Even if we have victory today over some struggle, Satan's waiting for tomorrow. He knows if we're doing well today, then he's going to wait till we're weak tomorrow. Or maybe even when we think we're strong, maybe that's our weakness. So he's going to be there ready to attack, kind of like a cat crouching down, you know, ready to spring on us as soon as we give him a chance. So some of us, as we go through life, or I guess all of us, as we go through life, we have problems. Every single one of us has problems today that we're worried about or struggling with. Sometimes, as we go through life, it feels like there's thousands of problems around us. And it feels like there's so many problems around us that we can't handle it all. And have you ever been at a time when you feel surrounded by problems and you feel like you're all alone? Where you feel like there's nobody to help? There's nobody to point you in the right direction. There's nobody maybe that cares. That's about as dark as life can get. I mean, problems are bad. It's bad to have bad stuff going on around us. But when you feel like you're alone in the problems, that's way worse. I'd rather have five times as many problems and a couple friends to go through it with me. You know, I think we all would make that choice. We need a couple people beside us to go with us through life. So today we're going to be talking about that. Chapter 4, verse 13 of Luke says that Satan's looking for an opportune time to trip people up. There's going to be struggles. No matter what your past has been, your future has struggles in it. your future has temptation. So what we're talking about today is if we know we're going to face hardship, we probably should make those friendships now so they're there for us when we need them. So, Bob, anything to add into that before we invite Mary up?
You know, I would just say, by the way, the Bible talks about being hidden behind the cross. I think we are right here. And we may move that for when Mary comes up, just so she can be seen. I got it. I'll get it. Chris, I'm going to stick it over here. But I would just say one of the greatest things about church, and you're going to hear from Mary some things about some of her thoughts. Yeah, if you'll just put that right there, it'd be great. Thank you, Chris. Just right there. Thank you, sir.
Hey, Chris.
There you go.
Yep. Very
perfect.
Good.
Oops. That's all right. That's all right. We'll get it next week. I know. No good deed goes unpunished, all right? Today has been a day of technology failure. Nevertheless, if you all can kind of draw your attention back, one of the things that we really, really need to be to one another and with one another are just good support. And I remember Jake a Sunday years ago preaching a sermon, and a guy came in, and he looked like he'd been beat up, not physically beat up, but just every other which way beat up. And he came and sat on the back row, and I had one of those sermons that was about a million miles from where he needed to be. And about halfway through it, he just got up and walked out the door, and I never, ever got a chance to meet him, talk to him, say anything to him. So part of why we have greeters and part of why we emphasize that we are a team is because we never want that to happen. When somebody walks in here with a broken heart, we need to be the people who reach out to them. And so Mary Panuco is a wonderful star from Maywood. She's somewhere right here, front row. All right.
Yeah.
Here we go. When Jake and I were talking about this message, you're going to hear more about it, we said we need to have Mary up here. She's nervous, but she is really good. When we talk about the fact that we are coaches, these are the people we coach, people like Mary. And she does things that we can't do, and you're going to hear from that now. So, Jake, why don't you go from there?
Yeah, Mary, if you could just start off, just tell us a little bit about your past.
Okay, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, didn't know anything about God or Jesus until I was a very young married mother, and a man I worked with gave me a New Testament. So I read it, and I believed every word in it. It was just instant. And several months after that happened, I lost my husband and my brother-in-law in a car accident. And I didn't lose my faith, but I became very angry at God and got very depressed and got into drugs and struggled with drugs off and on my whole adult life and tried to find a church I belonged to. And I went to many different churches and never felt welcome, never felt comfortable until I came to Maywood.
Okay, so, yeah.
We don't want to miss this. Mary, you went through it too quick. You needed to have gotten nervous at a certain point so I could jump in. So one of the things that Mary said, do not miss it. Somebody gave her a Bible. Y'all see that? Barry Tarwater, who greeted you this morning, Barry Tarwater was a hopeless alcoholic living in a horrible place down on Independence Avenue. And one day his boss called him into the office and said, Barry, you ought to go to church. That's all he said. But God put it on his heart. It was God's timing. Barry went to church, got sober. He's got years of sobriety. He's a great servant of the Lord. Somebody is in your life, just like somebody's in Mary's life. They were there for Mary. Mary will be there for somebody else. Somebody was there to make a difference. So don't lose that. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I wanted
That's
to.
Okay.
Jake,
yeah.
Go ahead.
So when you first came to Maywood, tell us about that.
Well, my son and daughter-in-law visited Maywood, And they invited me, and I went to Josh's class, and I was just amazed at, well, I was amazed at Josh, but the people here were so welcoming and friendly, and they were real people. They weren't fake. And that's what I needed.
Yeah, and so I think Josie Campy, actually, I heard, invited Jason.
Josie Campy is a good friend of my daughter-in-law's, and she invited them, and they invited me.
Yeah, and so you got here, and then that was about 4 years ago. Tell us about kind of the role that you have with Maywood now, how you're involved.
Okay. Well, as I said, I struggled with drugs. Even when I came here, I was still struggling. And it'll be 4 years in June with the help of this church. With the help of this church and many people's prayers, I have made so many good friends here, and I am just so blessed.
Yeah, so I know you're a part of Rixie Adams' small group. And
yes.
So you, sorry, and you read a poem to them that you wrote about Maywood, and word got around to us, and so that's how you got here. But I really loved the poem the first time I got to read it, and we're in for a treat today. Mary is going to read this poem to us, so I'm going to fast forward through a little bit of this, and so the poem is called "Come Home."
Come home. I was feeling so sad, spending all my time alone. I found a spiritual place. I call it my home. The people there understand all my pain. I finally found a place where I could feel sane. There are coaches there that teach us to pray. They care for us. They won't lead you astray. Everyone, no matter how young or how old, you are welcome here. You will soon be told. Tattoos and piercings, no one cares. Everyone in the world needs our prayers. If you are on drugs and you want to stop, give your life to Jesus. That's what he taught. This home of mine is so unique. Please come and see us. Your soul will keep. So if you are tired of feeling alone, come to Maywood Baptist Church. Jesus is home.
Mary, if you had any advice today for somebody maybe that's new here at Maywood, what would your advice be?
I'd like to welcome anyone that's new to our church. I would encourage you to get into a Sunday school, and I would really encourage you to get in a small group. They're wonderful, and the people here are wonderful. So if we have not welcomed you, please reach out to us.
Mary, thank you so much for sharing with us today.
We're in the middle of... How can you get a copy? It's on the website. I'll bet you if you talk really nice to Dawn Stoner, she'll put it on Facebook if she hadn't already done it. So, all right. Yeah, it's on the website, right?
It will be.
It will be on the website. Thank you. So, you know, we're in the time of thinking about Easter Sunday. It's coming up in a couple of weeks, and we've got before that Good Friday. We think about all that the Lord has done for us. And God is so amazing. He is personal. And so before this world was made, he knew there'd be a Mary Panuco. There are no accidents in the world. There are only intentions. God intends for people to be alive. He intended you to be alive. And so he made Mary. He aligned it up for somebody to give her a Bible, for her to read it, for it to become real to her, to have a son and a daughter-in-law who came to church, to be in a class where she found life, and to get sober and to get the more of the life that she has. God lined all that up for her. And there are people in her pathway that God is touching also. That's how God is. Now, you all cheer Jake and me on, and thank you for cheering on the girls. Boy, that was good. You got some sweet girls got baptized today. Let's cheer on God for a moment. Let's just thank him for what he's done, huh? So, Jake, you have a question to ask me. It's on the slide.
Okay. Well, is it?
That's that question. Yes, sir.
Okay, let's talk about it. So,
these are the Maywood Gym Rats.
Yeah, we're getting ahead of things a little bit here, but the Maywood Gym Rats. So, Mary's story, if it stuck out to you, this idea that she had a home here that she needed so badly that set her free from so many other things. She found this love and this friendship here. But maybe you heard that and you thought, well, I'm not married. Or maybe you thought, I want to have a home like that. Well, there's different pathways to those friendships. Not everybody, I mean, Rick's the Adams small group. I always hear amazing things about it. Mary loves it. But it's not the right place maybe for these guys or for everybody, obviously, because it's a women's only group. So how do you become a part of a family like that? How do you plug in here at Maywood? So one of the pathways is some of these guys here, led by Rob Annan on the left, that's Justin and Chris and Bob. Several guys are up here every week, a few times a week with Rob. A couple of them I was talking to here in the last few weeks that have been going through some really hard stuff that a lot of guys would be really depressed if they were going through. But each of these two guys told me that they're up here at church five times a week because they're here on Sunday morning, they're here on Wednesday night, but then they're weightlifting with Rob three times a week. And these guys, even though they're going through some storms in their own life personally, they're becoming better men. And it's really inspiring to see. And I think the influence that Rob and this group has having is pretty huge. Bob, I know you've been around them some. What sort of stuff goes on while they're lifting weights?
Well, let me just say, this is not for everybody. I don't guess Rixie will be down there this week working out. And it is open. Right below us, we have some weights. The school district had weights literally that would have filled this room. And we didn't think that y'all would like us to remove the pews and put in a gym in here. So we went into the shower room downstairs and in the two dressing rooms, if you can imagine, and we crammed all the weight we could. We have a free gym. It's welcome. You're welcome to it, and we'd love you to be a part of it. Rob and his friends are here a lot more than I am. I sneak in when I can, but it's kind of hard to get here the same time they do. And they do some fabulous things. I mean, we've had guys kneel and pray and ask Jesus to be their Savior right in there, right by the little inclined dumbbell bench, you know. And last couple of weeks, we had some guys who were talking about baptism. And they, instead of working out, they spent their time talking about baptism. Now, they also do some pretty neat weightlifting. You all may, let me tell you what Thursday night looked like here, okay? Thursday night, at the far end of the building in the youth chapel, we had probation and parole doing their pathways class. Right above them, we had straight talk doing their NA group. Right across the hall, we had a man who's a friend of Doug Kulis doing a Tai Chi class. Down at the far end of the fellowship hall, we opened up the building to have a funeral service for a man who was connected with Jesus down at Maple House. In the room just a little bit over from there, we had GED and ESL going on. And down below, last but not least, we had some kids playing soccer and some guys lifting weights. Two of the men who lift weights are from Iraq. They're Islamic. Their women come in with their heads covered. And they've been working out with these guys right back here. And one of the beauties is I have seen our fellows be absolute stars around them. They're living out the life of Jesus with some people who are new to our country to discover him. Y'all get a snapshot of that? I am so thankful to be one of the pastors here at Maywood and to see this take place in our building. You all make that possible, okay? Now, back to the small group. These guys nourish one another, just like on Wednesday night, Debbie Anderson's group across the hall that knit. They knit and talk about the Lord. It's amazing. And I see people in that group. There's one lady in particular. I thought, wow, look at her. She's in church. So the bottom line is we want to be connected. We want you to be connected. And quite frankly, if we don't do our job, come tell me. Come tell Jake. Tell Wayne. Say, hey, you missed me. I'm sorry. Kick me in the shins next time we miss you, okay? We'll be sure to remember you the next time, all right? For real. So these are things that we need. We all need a home for the soul. We need to be connected. Can I preach for a second longer, Jake?
Yeah, go for it.
Thank you very much. Some of us need to disengage from what we're doing so we can engage with what we've been talking about this morning. Some of us need to say, God, who needs a Bible that I would buy and give to them? Some of us need to say, who do I work with that I could say to them, you know what? Man, would you come to church with me? Some of us need to do like Evelyn Hill did years ago, take a teenage girl sitting on the steps of the church and saying, can't you hear Evelyn say this, honey? Evelyn was up in her 80s, for those of you that didn't know, we're still driving. Honey, won't you go to lunch with me after church? And I think Dean Deason bought the girl breakfast. Some of us need to do that. We can, all right? So let's just kind of wrap that thought up. And, Jake, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Real quick.
All right, go for it.
To kind of illustrate that point, tell you a secret. There's a Snickers bar underneath that, right around that table over there. Can you grab
it,
Bob?
Whoa. Can I have it?
Well, no. Can you grab it? Now, can you toss it to me? My hands are full, so I can't catch it.
Well, here, let me take it for you.
Well, yeah, exactly. So for me to be able to catch it, I'd have to set one of these things down. You might want to have a friendship, but if you don't have five open nights a week, like, you're not going to start weightlifting with these guys as much as they are. If your hands are totally full, you can't do the things that Bob was talking about. If you've got every meal planned out from here to next week, you can't invite someone to lunch. You know, you can't hang out with somebody. So this open hands, the whole idea of this series is if you want to open up to something good that's new, you have to let go of something else. So don't kid yourself and think, oh yeah, I'm going to make a great friendship, but I'm going to just stay just as busy as I am right now. I'm going to do everything I did last week plus a new friendship. You got to decide to let go of something. You got to say, I'm going to let go of an old relationship maybe, or I'm going to let go of one way I spend, you know, I'm going to let go of my Thursday night, whatever, and start hanging out with somebody. Real quick verse. Here's what Christian friendship should do. Hebrews 10:24 tells us, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. If you don't have any friends in your life who, when you after you're done hanging out with them, you feel more full of love, you're a better person, and you do good stuff because of hanging out with them. If you don't have anyone like that in your life, then you don't have the type of friendships we're talking about. You need to build friendships with people that are headed towards Jesus so you can go that way with them. And the way you judge whether they're good friends or not is, like, after you spend time with them, are you more full of love? Are you doing better things than you were doing before you hung out with them? So you got to make space for those friendships. I've got one last thing to talk about today. You know, I started the sermon talking about how Satan is always looking for an opportunity to strike at us. And if we want to be fully ready for that, we should have some friends before that trouble comes. So I have some bad news to share, not about that, but about this. So I have some sad news to share. So if you were here 6 months or 9 months ago, I don't know how long ago it was, Chrissy and I talked about that we had been trying to get pregnant for more than a year and hadn't been able to, and we were really feeling at peace at that point, that God was pushing us in a different direction, that God was wanting us to foster kids and eventually adopt kids. And so we were really shocked here recently to find out that we were pregnant, that Chrissy was pregnant. But hold off. So there's more to the story. So we were really shocked. It was super, you know, we have this big plan laid out, and then that changed everything, and we were really excited and hopeful and confused. And then this last week, we spent a long time in the ER, and then we found out on Tuesday we got official word that we had lost the baby. And so that was, I mean, that's crazy hard to go through. And it's something we wanted to share with all of you. We didn't want to keep it a secret. We're not ashamed of it. Like, it's not a shameful thing. But you are friends and family, and so we wanted to be open with you guys about that. And it was super hard to go through. It's super hard to still go through. We know that our baby's in heaven. We know that that's a good thing. But it doesn't change it from being hard. And something that happened, though, this week, when we found out, we started to tell some of our closest friends and family. And when you're going through grief, I mean, if you've gone through grief of any kind, you know you don't want to hear a lot of advice or comforting words. But we had some really amazing friends, some of whom just were silent with us, were just sad with us, which was really, really comforting. We had some friends who would just say things like, "I'm so sorry for your loss." Like, there's nothing else, there's no more words to put on it than that. And they just, again, were just sad with us. Had a lot of friends who stopped the conversation and said, like, "Let's pray about it." And they just asked for God to help. Like, there weren't any answers. And we're going through all sorts of emotions all week long, you know, and God's along for that roller coaster of being angry and being upset and being depressed and all sorts of stuff. But to have friends that would walk through that with you and not feel uncomfortable, but just be in the moment with you, just feel the emotion with you. You can't build those friendships on Tuesday when the crisis happens. You know, you can't make those friendships happen out of nowhere. You have to build those friendships over a long period, over months and months, when things maybe aren't out of control, so that those people are there for you and they know you. I mean, if this was my first week at Maywood, I wouldn't be saying any of this to any of you. It's because we have a relationship with each other. That's why I can share this and trust you with it. If you don't have friends in your life that are pushing you towards Jesus, what are you going to do when the next crisis hits you? Mary's story is a real story. There's a lot of bad things to turn to when things get dark. And if you don't have good friends in your life, it's hard to stay in the light. Today we're going to have a time of response. You know, the worship team is going to come up. But I want you to think about, I mean, this is as sad as this news is, like, the push for us today is a fun push of, like, let's go and make better friendships. Let's clear some space in our life so we can really be there for each other in the hard times. So as simple as it sounds, like, if you don't have plans for lunch, like, invite somebody to lunch. Or if you don't have plans this Thursday, invite somebody to hang out. Or if you have plans Tuesday, go ahead and cancel them and invite a guy from your small group to hang out with you. Let's pray. God, I thank you for who you are. And God, I thank you that no matter what we go through, that you love us and that you are willing to walk through life with us. God, I thank you for giving us friendships. I thank you, like Mary said, that you gave us this home here at Maywood. God, help us to hold on to each other, and most of all, help us to hold on to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.